market that is going now. Om Jnanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadhamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanditam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantarara Kantana Mostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaevacha Patitanang Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So, I have to thank you all for your presence here at this gathering. Because by your presence, it is becoming auspicious. Wherever the devotee is present, that brings auspiciousness. Actually, the devotee carries Vrindavan within the heart because the devotee is always thinking of Krishna. So I am blessed by your association today because you are Krishna conscious devotees. And by your association, I'm getting that connection with Sri Vrindavan Dham, the abode of Krishna. So this Krishna consciousness movement is given by Srila Prabhupada, which is the full-blown manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It is simply wonderful. There's nothing like it. One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, everyone knows what simply wonderfuls are? Simply wonderfuls. It's a salt sweet ball made with powdered milk and sugar. So one disciple said, Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a simply wonderful on the street? You've heard this. He said that he will eat that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become simply wonderful. And then Prabhupada further elaborated, he said, Krishna is simply wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. And you are all simply wonderful. One devotee said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. Prabhupada said, that's all right, I have kirtan. So, that is a fact. Actually, every jiva is simply wonderful. Because every jiva, every living being, even the little ant crawling across the sidewalk, every single living entity is the dear son of Krishna. Every single living entity is the dearmost son of Lord Sri Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. Itimat bhava jante bang bhuda bhava samanvita. Every living entity, you see, Krishna says, what is it? He's aham sarvasya prabhava. Everything emanates from me, Krishna is saying. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. So, Krishna is emanating unlimited numbers of living entities from himself. They are non-different from him in the quality. Quantitatively, there's a gulf of difference. Krishna is fully independent. We are under the control of the spiritual or material natures according to our choice. Krishna is completely independent. Our degree of independence is that we can choose which nature we want to be under. Our actual position is the simply wonderful position of being spiritual in quality. But we can switch from being simply wonderful to being simply terrible. Rogues. Nowadays they talk about various rogue states on the face of the planet, but according to what we are studying in the Bhagavatam today, every country is a rogue state nowadays, modern society. Every single country is a rogue state because they are inflicting so much suffering upon innocent living beings like the cows and the children in the womb. You see? Every state is a rogue state. So, the living entity is by nature simply wonderful, but by the influence of the material nature, those simply wonderful qualities are covered up, the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava. They're in everyone's heart. But instead of being simply wonderful, now he has become simply terrible. And when it becomes very bad, they're called terrorists. See, when that simply terrible becomes extremely terrible, they're called terrorists. But actually, we're all terrorists. Terribles. Terrible and terrorists. Same root. Terror. So why should we be simply terrible when we can be simply wonderful? And how do you become simply wonderful? You simply take one simply wonderful. With love and devotion. Realizing Krishna. Or any prasadam. Nice prasadam is here. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is a formula how to revive the simply wonderful nature of a living being. Same thing again, huh? So, we are gathered here today together for this purpose. This is our purpose of coming here today. We want to encourage all of you to come to the simply wonderful position, to come out of the simply terrible position of bodily identification. Actually, a more appropriate term is bodily misidentification. You see, you cannot actually identify with that body. You can misidentify with the body, but you can identify with it. Actually, we say identify with the material body, but actually it's more proper to say you can only misidentify with your material body. You can't actually identify with it because it's not you. It's false to identify with your body. It's a simply terrible position. Why? Asat, that's it, nirananda. That's what. You understand? Asat means it is temporary. Achit means it's full of ignorance. Nirananda means it's a miserable position. So instead of asat, achit, nirananda, we have to come to the opposite side, the perfectional, the simply wonderful side. Sat, chit, ananda. I am eternal, I'm full of knowledge, and I'm full of bliss. If you're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, then why are you so miserable? Because you're misidentifying with your body, and that is a simply terrible thing for you to do. Is it? Krishna consciousness means to always think, act, and speak in a simply wonderful way. But we are opting to act, think, and speak in simply so many varieties of simply terrible ways. Why? You may ask, am I doing this foolishness? Why am I acting so foolishly? Because we were not properly educated, that's all. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how in the womb the living being is... Actually, Prabhupada explains it. Bhaktivinoda says that the living entity's natural tendency is to be a devotee of Krishna when he comes out of the womb, actually. If the child is properly engaged from the very beginning by bowing down to the deity, hearing the kirtan, chanting, taking prasadam, taking all the charanam rita, everything the child is engaged in doing, all the activities of bhakti, then his natural bhakti will develop. Because everyone is naturally a devotee by birth, actually. But it is only due to this horrible, this simply terrible, simply terrible propaganda we have to turn everyone into a materialist as soon as they come out. That innocent little child, we have to pollute him and train him how to become materialist. Let him watch mundane television, for example. Let him be in a home where mundane television is watched. Let's train him up how to be a simply terrible person by letting him sit for hours and watch simply terrible people and celebrate them as if they're great heroes on the TV too. You see. Formerly, there was not this heavy influence of television. But it came with my generation. I remember I was a little toddler in the crib, and there was the television, a little 1948 or 49, little tiny black, black and white little television. That was where it all began. I remember looking through, peering over the little bars of my crib. Had a little television set there in the room. You see. Where is that body now? You see that little baby's body in the crib looking at the television set? That's gone. So that is the proof of the spiritual nature of the living being. Spiritual identity is proven because all the chemicals are changing. But yet the self remains the same. So the self and the body have to be two different things. But the point is, that we are being trained and we are training others how to come to this simply terrible platform of bodily misidentification. This is the greatest disservice, the greatest cruelty, the greatest roguishness being shoved on everyone. It's madness, it's absolute madness. Absolutely insane what's going on in the world today. It's absolutely insane. When I was working as the sales manager for Back to Godhead magazine some years ago in San Diego, we used to sometimes go to New Dwarka, the little Tirtha Yatra, and go up the highway to, remember Manaji? We used to go to up to New Dwarka for some festival. I remember there was one billboard. Remember that billboard? It's a jungle out there. You get to LA and there's a big billboard on the side of it. It's a jungle out there. Somebody has understood. It's a jungle out there. Huh?
It's also said in the driving, what is it, defensive driving videos.
In the defensive driving?
Videos
that they said it's a jungle out there also? Yeah. It certainly is. So they may appear to have a very sophisticated, advanced civilization. And indeed, they are advanced in many ways. Actually, Prabhupada said that in one flight. The plane was landing in complete fog. You couldn't see anything. And just by the instruments, they had a perfect landing. And Prabhupada said, there is no enjoyment in this material world. But if there's any enjoyment at all in this material world, it is in America. So they may have created a semblance of enjoyment here, you see, by all of their modern technology. But actually, it's simply a jungle. The semblance of happiness they have created here with their freeways. Prabhupada called them, he mispronounced it, fryways. Actually, they are fry in the sense that they fry your brain. You get caught in the jam. You just get psychologically fried. Cooked. So, we have created this so-called civilization, which is simply terrible because it does not give this knowledge, it does not give this information. So for that inspiration, for that guidance, for that training, guru is required. Prabhupada actually is guru for the whole world, and he has created a whole society. He wanted us all to become spiritual masters, delivering the suffering people of this world. Jare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesha mara gai guru hoyatare desh. Whomever you meet, instruct them in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this country. That is Chaitanya's order. So Prabhupada repeated to that order to us again and again and again and again and again, year after year after year. That he wants us to be preachers. He wants us to be spiritual teachers, to go out and enlighten the people who you are. You are not a Nepali. You see, you have no obligation to Nepal, because it is the land of your birth. You simply are obliged to Lord Sri Krishna. Nepal is simply some politician's imagination. We draw all these imaginary lines. You see, it is all God's property. There's one. The whole world is one nation. Actually, it is Krishna's country, and formerly it was so. From India, the whole planet was ruled by one king, actually. There were subordinate kings, but there was one main king who ruled the whole planet before the Kali Yuga began. So we have made these divisions, and we're thinking, well, I'm Ukrainian, or I'm Polish, you see, or I'm Jewish, or I'm this-ish, or that-ish. So many ishes are out there. And these ishes are simply fishes washed ashore out of the spiritual sea, like a fish washed of the ishes are simply fishes. You see? You know the analogy of the fish out of water. Yes. So that fish, he identifies, when he comes out on the land, he identifies, instead of thinking I'm a fish, he's thinking I'm an ish. I'm Jewish, I'm British, I'm this ish or that ish. But actually, he is fish. He's a creature of the water, he's a creature of the spiritual world. That's the analogy. So we have to get back to that place where we once belong, where we always belong, actually. We have to get back to that place where we eternally belong, and that is in Krishna consciousness. That is the simply wonderful position to be in. Just imagine if you could relish indescribable, inconceivable, ever-increasing nectar at every minute. Would you like that? Huh? Would you like it? All you have to do is become a pure devotee. It's all you have to do is become a pure devotee. Very simple plan. It's a very simple way to do it. Just become a pure devotee of Krishna. Would you like to become a pure devotee of Krishna and taste indescribable, ever-increasing bliss at every minute? Would you like to become a pure devotee? Yes. Yeah. Very good. So then we have to say, well, what is the method of becoming a pure devotee? That method is given by Prabhupada. He is training us how to become pure devotee. It's a very nice system. It's called sadhana bhakti. We see now that Vaishnavism has become popular. There are so many sahaja sects now, sects appearing throughout the world. It's like in Austin, there's the world headquarters of one sect. And their official philosophy is Raga Nuga Bhakti. You immediately come to spontaneous love of Krishna just by joining our group. You don't need the sadhana. You don't need to follow any rules and regulations. Just dive into Raga Nuga immediately. That is cheating. There was one boy in the hospital. He was very sick. But he loved cake. Of course, in his condition, if he would eat cake, it would kill him. And the doctors forbid him to eat any cake. But his little brother, out of affection for him, not really understanding what was the dire circumstance, he smuggled some cake into the hospital to feed his brother. And it almost killed him, you see. So is that love? No, it's ignorance. It may appear to be. It's a nice sentiment. I want to make, my brother likes cake, so I'll give him some cake, you see. So the boy has to go through the proper austerities to become healthy again, and then he can eat cake. So to come to the platform, you cannot jump artificially to the platform of Raga Nuga Bhakti without undergoing sadhana. You'll kill yourself spiritually. If you try to imagine you're a liberated person now, I'm very mature in Krishna consciousness, so I don't need to follow any rules and regulations. I can just do whatever I feel like doing because I know I'm advanced in Krishna consciousness. We see this disease creeping into the hearts of people sometimes. that yes, I'm very advanced in Krishna consciousness. I don't have to follow the rules. That is for neophytes. You see. But the fact is, the truly advanced devotee will strictly follow the rules and regulations, more strictly than the neophytes, to show the example to them. Even though he doesn't need to, he will naturally do so out of love, because he has very strong love for Krishna and for all the jivas. He will naturally follow the rules and regulations more strictly than the neophytes follow them. Naturally, the advanced devotee will do that. So this argument that, oh, I'm very advanced, so I don't need to follow the rules and regulations, is bogus. It is called sahajya, one who takes the process cheaply. Sahaj, literally, it's a Hindi word, means easy. Wants to take the easy path, you see. No austerities. Sahaj. Sahaj marg, the easy path. No austerities, just enjoy. And think, I'm a great devotee. They are called sahajya. Those who are on sahaj marg, they are called sahajyas. So, just like you want some college degree, you've just finished your degree in philosophy. To get that degree, you had to work very hard. You think, I would like a degree in philosophy, so I will simply sit out on the front lawn and sip lemonade and, you know, watch the cars go by and wait for the university to send me my honorary philosophy degree. Is that a proper intelligence? No. It could happen. I mean, Rabindranath Tagore did get an honorary degree from Oxford. It does happen, but he worked very hard to develop his poetic skills also, Rabindranath Tagore, a famous Bengali poet. You've heard Rabindranath Tagore? Yeah. He got an honorary degree from Oxford, but he worked very hard to develop his poetry. He wasn't just sitting out there sipping lemonade on the bank of the, Ganges or something. So the point is, if you want to actually achieve something, you have to work hard for it. You have to give up things you would like to do and do things you wouldn't like to do in the beginning. That's a fact. But the neat thing about it is, once you give up those things you don't like to do and do things you don't like to do for the sake of advancing spiritually, those things you didn't like to do, all of a sudden, they become very sweet and very nectarian, and you love doing them. I'll give you a graphic example that Prabhupada gives. A little child, does he want to go to school? The first day you went to school, do you remember that you wanted to go and very happy to go to school? No one wants to go to school. Let me just play. That's why they have kindergarten. You're just going to go and play at the school for a year and get used to going to the school and then buckle down for first grade and actually have to do something instead of just playing. See, it's a way to break them into the idea of going to school. You can go to school and play with your... So many nice boys and girls there, you can go play with toys all day with all the boys and girls. And that's a way of breaking the child into the idea. But actually, everyone wants to stay at home. No one likes to go and study the lessons. You have to learn how to read A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. You see, no one is eager to Q and all that. Q, R, S, T, U, V, W. We're not interested to learn the alphabet. Who cares? We just want to run and play and look at the butterflies. But you know what happens? After you learn the alphabet and you get a little trained in how to read, you find the child is on his own. He's going to the library, he's getting books, and he becomes an avid reader on his own. He develops a taste and he loves to read. You see? We're a whole society is of readers, People, everywhere you see people reading just because they enjoy it. It's entertainment. In the airport, there's so many bookstores, and people in the airplanes reading novels, just greedily pouring through the pages. See, people love to read, actually. But in the beginning, no one wanted to read. So in the same way, nobody wants to do any austerities, except maybe some rare soul. We generally don't want to do any austerities. But under the guidance, the loving guidance of the spiritual master, we are engaged in doing this. In the beginning, nobody got up for Mangalarti. But then Prabhupada introduced, now you should rise early, 4 o'clock. In the beginning of ISKCON, no one did that. They would get up, 7 o'clock. But Prabhupada introduced, all right, now you rise early and you have Mangalarti. So So because no one had any taste, but then Prabhupada ordered, so all right, let us get up for Mangalarti. And then the taste comes. Wow. Now we wouldn't miss it for the world. We got up at, Mataji and I, we all, from our group last night, we went to bed at midnight. And we were up at 4 o'clock to go to Mangalarti. Actually, no one told me it was at 4:15, and I was late. Mataji was on time. She was in the shower first. Normally it's at 4:30 in the temple. They had it at 4:15. I was shocked. They came out of the shower and I heard the Mangalarti going on. Oh no. I came late today because I was misinformed. But once you develop a taste for rising, doing the, it was an austerity, and we took some rest later on to make up for it, but that once you develop a taste for doing these devotional activities, they become so sweet and so wonderful you wouldn't think of not doing them. So chanting our japa is like that. You know, not wasting our time with mundane television is like that. In the beginning, it's a little difficult to make the transition. But by training ourselves and making new habits, forcing ourselves in the beginning, then we actually develop new tastes which are much sweeter than the old ones. If I gave you $1 million right now, would that make your day? Boy, you're going to retire, buy a house, not have to worry anymore, pay off my car, no more payments. $1 million would certainly make your day today. I say, okay, now give it back. Oh, doggone it. So you wouldn't want to give up that $1 million because, wow, I would make half my car, I can retire from my job, I can just go to Vrindavan, relish the bathing in the Jamuna, and doing Govardhan Parikrama, just be in the festivals all the time with devotees. No more austerities of the corporate world. It would be very nice. And your mind was racing with ecstasy, thinking of all how you can use that $1 million nicely to enhance your life. Say, okay, give it back now. Oh. You wouldn't want to do that, even though you would, because I'm your spiritual master. You're supposed to be my disciple. You would give it back to me out of duty, but you certainly wouldn't. You may smile and try to appear detached, but within your heart you go, oh, isn't it? But if I offered you $1 billion in exchange for that $1 billion, you immediately, yes, here, take the million. Yes, no problem. You see? The Krishna consciousness is like that. This material sense gratification that we're doing now is our $1 million. We're very attached to it. We're very excited about it, actually, still. But Krishna and Guru, they are giving us $1 billion. They're saying, why are you so attached to your $1 million? You give me the $1 million, I'll give you $1 billion. Why $1 billion? $1 trillion here. I'll give you one. Well, up the ante here. $1 trillion we'll give you. You see, so you can create millionaires out of all your friends. Make their day. So we'll give you $1 trillion instead. How's that? $1 trillion. You can have $1,000 billion. You can have 1 million times 1 million. The trillion. 1 million millions. You see? So that is Krishna consciousness. We're giving you something that is far more valuable than $1 trillion, unlimitedly. You cannot even calculate how valuable it is. We are giving it to you. Now, are you ready to take it or not? That is up to you. No one can force. If I give you $1 trillion, you can a cashier's check for $1 trillion, you can throw it in the trash can if you want. Or you can put it in your bank account. Which will you do? If I give you a cashier's check for $1 trillion, will it go into the trash? Will it go in your bank account? Tell me. Bank account, that's right. So I'm giving you Krishna consciousness. By Prabhupada's mercy, I'm his messenger. I am giving you Krishna consciousness. Now you can trash it or you can deposit it in your account. It's up to you. It's up to you. No one's going to force. It's your own intelligence now. You decide. Will I trash it or will I deposit it? You have to decide. No one is going to force. Krishna told Arjuna, now I'm telling you these things. Now you do what you like. I've instructed you on all these points. Now it's up to you, Arjuna. You act as you like. So we can give you all instructions. But now the real question is, what will you do with it? Integrity means what you do when nobody else is around. You see, that's integrity. If you have intelligence and you have integrity, then you will take this and you will embrace it with all your life and soul. This Krishna consciousness process. If you have intelligence and you have integrity, you will take it as your life and soul. So that is my hope, that you have intelligence and you have integrity. That is my hope. And that you will take it as your life and soul and dedicate your life to this Krishna consciousness, awakening of the dormant enlightened consciousness within you. That is my hope. So, are there any questions? Because everybody already knows everything, right? No one has any questions because everyone properly understands, everyone's realized in full the Supreme Absolute Truth. There's no area of ignorance or doubt or confusion in the brain. Everything's completely clear. You're completely pure devotees. Uttama Adhikaris, knows no question.
Everything is completely clear. How to put into practice that?
Okay, well, how do you put it in? Mataji has asked a very intelligent question. And what you've explained appears very clear. Now, how do I put it into practice? Our system actually is to put yourself under the care of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the system. Just like Prema Bhakti Prabhu and I put ourselves under Prabhupada's care, you see. And under that loving care of Srila Prabhupada, we were trained exactly what to do. Whether we were directly trained by Prabhupada or by his representatives, the principle is the same. It was Prabhupada acting in either case. We were trained exactly what to do at every minute of our 24 hours. Exactly. How to think, how to speak, and how to act in every time, every place, and every situation. So this is what the spiritual master does. The disciple fully submits himself or herself to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master, either directly or through his representatives, will train the student how to always think, speak, and act in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, in a way that pleases Krishna and pleases Guru. Guru is pleasing and Krishna is pleasing, same thing. Guru now what pleases Krishna, and so when the disciple acts in a way that pleases Krishna, the spiritual master is pleased. So because we cannot see Krishna, therefore we try to please the spiritual master. Because we can't see if Krishna is pleased or not, we try to please our spiritual master, because that is what, then we know that Krishna is pleased. In fact, Krishna says, I'm more pleased when you please my representative than when you please me. So we should always try to please our spiritual master and see that he's happy with us. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is that I'm pleasing my guru. That's the most important thing. Because when you do that, you know you're on the right track. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, no one can make any advancement. So that's the key. That's the answer to your question, Manaji. What you have to do is you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and please him by your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And that's the real, that's what the real bottom line, what it boils down to in essence. Tadvaganar tam sagru guru meva bhigatshat. Tasmad garum prabhajita jagyeshna. That verse also. So any other questions?
I have comments. And I'd like to clear up that I'm not actually a disciple. Although I served Prabhupada.
You didn't take initiation at that time.
No, so but I took initiation later on from Bhagavan instead of
okay.
So, but we're all followers of Srila Prabhupada.
Absolutely.
So I know you're
Prabhupada Nugas.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And,
you're very kind that to consider me a god brother, but I'm not really
yet. Oh yeah, when you said you'd been in Austin in 72, I assumed.
No, I didn't.
Because you joined practically the same time I did.
A little after, yeah.
Yeah, just a year later. So I assume that you were my godbrother.
I'm one of those simply terrible people. Yeah, guys of the devotees. get the Simply Wonderful that will transform my life. So I come begging for your Simply Wonderful. But the point that you bring up, to me is a very valid point, and one that I have to talk to you about personally. It is about serving the spiritual master and looking and trying to get his pleasure.
Yes.
Because we don't know if Krishna or Lord Chaitanya is pleased with us until we see that the spiritual master is pleased with us.
And so what is
and that's the driving force of a devotee, that he knows that he's pleasing the spiritual master.
That's right.
And without pleasing the spiritual master, then everything is meaningless.
It's null and void, actually. Yeah, that's right.
It has no value.
That's right. So there's some question in this regard? Something you...
Well, I'm not sure that this would be the right place to bring.
We can have a private meeting.
It would take a long time to discuss.
No, you and I can meet privately after this gathering. We can definitely... So we should end pretty soon. Yeah, there's a program at 7 at the temple. So yeah, we can. All we can do is, if there's any other questions that we can for this gathering. Yes.
One question. I hope it's not inappropriate, but I would like to ask it. Does the spiritual master always have to be physically present?
The answer is that there are two presences of the spiritual master. Prabhupada explains. One is called Vani, and the other is called Vapu. Vapu literally means form or the physical body. You see, so whenever the spiritual master is Vapu is present, then we serve that, just like you're making all arrangement to be my on call while I'm here in Chicago. See, Vapu is present now, so you lay everything aside to be the chauffeur, whatever you're asked to do. You see, that's very good. Whenever the spiritual master is physically present, we take all care and affection to serve him in his physical form. But the other form is the instructions of the spiritual master. That is called vibrational presence, or the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's whatever instruction I receive. The spiritual master is present in the form of his instructions. You see, if I, as your spiritual master, if I instruct you, you must chant, I repeat Prabhupada, I pass on what I got from Prabhupada, and I tell you, you must chant 16 rounds daily. Then I am actually present in the form of that instruction. So if you obey that instruction, then you're directly pleasing me, and then I'm right there with you. My presence is there with you by your obeying that instruction. So the comparison or description of Prabhupada, these two types of presences, is that the vibrational presence is more important than the physical presence. Because the physical presence will be here and may not be here. Just like even Prabhupada was on this planet, he would come to our temple for 1 or 2 days, and then he was back on the road to the next temple. There were so many centers. So we might see Prabhupada once every year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years. We'd see him for 2 or 3 days, and that was it. But yet we felt we were with Prabhupada every minute. That we were not separated from it. That is called vibrational or instructional presence. So that connection we have to make with the instructional presence of the spiritual master, Vani. Because when that connection is there, then there is no breaking. If we strictly follow, we're never separated from our guru. But if we're simply dependent on his physical presence, it's like a little baby, when it has to be bounced on the knee to feel connected with the father. But when you become mature, you know what pleases your father, and you do that, and that way you feel connected, but you don't have to be bounced on the knee anymore. You see, like a little baby, to feel the presence of daddy so he doesn't cry. So that is a mature one who is mature in Krishna consciousness knows how to accept the order received from the spiritual master. And he feels that connection with the spiritual master in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. He always feels his guru's presence because he has learned how to associate with his spiritual master in the form of his instructions. So physical form is very important because it helps us to connect with the instructions. You see? We don't negate the importance of the spiritual master's physical presence. That physical presence helps to connect us with his vibrational presence. So whenever you have the opportunity to physically associate with a guru, you should run for it. Because then but then in that association, now you have to think, how can I connect with his vibrational presence now? Take advantage of his physical presence to connect with his vibrational presence, so I'll always be connected wherever I am. He may even leave the world. He may die. He will die sooner or later if he'll physically be removed from this plane. But if I have connected with his vibrational presence, then I'll always feel his presence wherever I am for all of eternity. Prabhupada explains the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions and his disciple lives with him. If you can embrace the orders you have received from your spiritual master, then you are eternally connected with him. You're never separated from him for all of eternity. Doesn't matter where you are, though you're at home, at the temple, or at your office. You will always feel, whether you're commuting out there in the traffic jam, wherever you may be, if you have fully surrendered to Guru, you will always feel you're with him, wherever you are, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And you will be ecstatic all the time. That's what we're always looking for. So the key is you take shelter of the orders received from the spiritual master by dedicating yourself to carrying them out. There is no, when you're in love with someone, there's no obstacle. You see? You'll do, any austerity becomes minuscule, insignificant. If you're in love with someone, you want to please someone, you'll do anything. Doesn't matter, you have to swing across the English Channel, you'll do it. You see? Whatever it takes to please my beloved. If you actually love your spiritual master, anything you have to do, it will not be an austerity anymore. It'll be a pleasure. I get to sacrifice this for my spiritual master. It'll be a great joy. It won't be considered some burden. It'll be a great celebration of the heart. So anyway, try to make this a reality now, these points I've described to you. Make this real in your life. And you'll be swimming in an ocean of nectar at every minute. Guaranteed. We're making we guarantee. So now we better wrap it up here now. Any other questions? Okay, we can take, Shana? Oh, it hasn't been offered yet. So Manaji, you want to lead a little kirtan for a few minutes while the offering's made? Why don't you do? Yeah. You lead one kirtan. You want, what instrument do you want? What instrument would you like? You want kartal or mridanga? Or hands?
I can do hands. Maybe I can play mridanga.
All right.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna.